picture watching over the sheep, the shepherds. And the night was going to be so different than they had ever knew. 400 years of silence. Just going about their job as they've done day after day, looking after sheep. And all of a sudden, light, and a choir, and a message. And often think of the shepherds this time of the year. They were the downcast. They were the not so well liked. And it's funny how David was a shepherd, and the Lord calls himself the Good Shepherd. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, as we gather tonight, we sense already that you are able to bring peace where there is conflict. You are able to bring calm where there is storm. And Lord, you are able to bring security when there's been fear. So tonight we stand, and some of us are affected by each or maybe all of these. And Father, we gather tonight to open your word, to have you speak to us, and then to pray. And because the veil has been torn in two from top to bottom, as we speak, Lord, we are at your feet and in your presence. And there is nothing between us and your throne. And we can ask, believing it. We can ask, knowing that you'll hear and answer, because we ask in your Son's name. So Lord, guide tonight. Guide us as we pray for the Christmas homes in this fellowship, Lord. The families. Guide our very hearts. Let our ears hear from you. Let our hearts hear from you. Let our faith grow as we open your word. Wash us and cleanse us now from the dust and the dirt of the world. Forgive us of our sins that we committed since we last were with you, Father. Forgive us, Lord, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Please take a seat. Would you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 21 to 40. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, that's Mary, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Why? Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which tells us that Joseph and Mary were very poor. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit, notice, was upon him. Couldn't be in him, because Jesus hadn't rose from the dead as yet. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What an amazing personal promise. Simeon, you won't die until you see the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit. So this time when he came to the temple, and he spent every day coming to the temple, but this time he came by the Spirit into the temple, and he was looking. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He says, now I'm ready to die, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What's Jesus' name? The God who saves. Jesus is our Savior, who takes away the sins, which you have prepared for the face of all the people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled. They had just come to bring Jesus. And they marveled at the things which were spoken of as this old man held their son. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce," he says to Mary, "through your own soul also." Wow, she's just a young girl. This is her first child, first time in the temple with her son. "That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one Anna, a lady, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. This woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not leave the temple, so she slept there, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him, Jesus, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Psalm 4 says in verse 8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety." If you have trouble sleeping, that's a psalm for you to read and to pray. Psalm 4:8. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." The word peace is found 429 times in 400 verses in the Bible. Actor Harrison Ford, the most successful actor in the history of Hollywood, a man whose movies have grossed $2 billion, told a magazine interviewer, "You only want what you ain't got." And the magazine interviewer asked in reply, "Well, what ain't you got?" Peace was his response. Media mogul Ted Turner described life as like a B-grade movie. You don't want to leave in the middle, but you don't want to see it again. We often think, and the world does, and it's crept into the church, that if only we had money and fame, we would have peace, be happy. If only we could be rich, like former shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis, who owned all the majority of the fleet that carried cargo around the world, multi-billionaire. But it was his daughter Christina who said, "Happiness is not based upon money. And the greatest proof of that is my family." She said that statement and then 2 weeks later took her own life. John Lennon said, and he made it a song, "All we are saying is give peace a chance," with Yoko Ono. And John Lennon was gunned down by a fan who had had his photo shot with him and then killed him. People often ask, is peace attainable in this world? And as we look at it, and there seems to be a crescendo always builds around Christmas time. Is it possible? Is peace possible? If the rich, the famous, and the talented say they're still looking, what hope is there then for the ordinary, you and I? Well, surely success, if I was successful, that would bring peace. I remember when we first started the youth down here meeting on Fridays on the basketball court when we first moved to Secret Harbor. We had a large number of youth and they were into a band called Nirvana, headed by a fellow called Kurt Cobain. Shocking music. Kurt Cobain, at the peak of his success, wanted to title one of his albums, "I Hate Myself and I Want to Die." And he shot himself with a shotgun. The question is peace possible? That's what your relatives, unsaved friends at work want to know. The peace that a man, a woman's soul can have so that the purpose of life is actually realized. The Bible says it can be attained. In fact, Christmas was the birth date of peace that could be seen and touched. 8 days after Jesus' birth, in keeping with the law of Moses, the baby Jesus is brought to the temple where he would be officially named, as was the way that they did things. He would be circumcised as part of the covenant God made with Abraham. His name would be Jesus, as Mary was told by the angel Gabriel, officially proclaimed there in the temple. And his name meant Jehovah is salvation. But there in the temple, by coincidence, no. It was an old man called Simeon. Verse 25, we read. How old he was, we're not sure, but we can be sure he was in his last years, stooped over with the weight of time and life. Skin toughened, living in the area like leather, growing up in the harsh Israeli climate. We're told that Simeon was a just man, devout, which simply means he was a man careful about his religious duties and his service towards God. What a great title that God gives him. But we're told something else about Simeon, something that he had in common with every man and woman in this world. He was looking for peace. More importantly, not only was he looking for peace, but we were told he was actually waiting for it. But he was not looking for it in a career. Ah, yes, I've attained a PhD, master's, further studies. I'm the greatest at my field. Oxford, Cambridge. He was not looking for the peace in a career. More importantly, he was not looking for it in the Israeli lotto. Numbers coming up on the rocks as they shot them out every Friday night. He was not looking for it in being the most famous old man in Israel, who's just this old guy who went in and out of the temple. In fact, we are told he was not looking for it in any method, wealth, acknowledgement, or fortune, because you won't find peace in any of those. In verse 26, we're told that Simeon had been promised by God that he would not die until he had found this that he was looking for, peace. A promise by God, personal. One of the most outstanding little verses in the Bible, I believe. God promised, you won't die until you see the Lord. The key, we are told Simeon was looking for peace in someone. Someone. How long he had been waiting for this promise to come through, we're not told. Days, months, years, we don't know. Each time a couple came into the temple, I picture old Simeon straining his failing eyes, lifting his head, straining his ears and wondering, this child, is this the one? Is this the Messiah? Then one day, 8 days, in fact, after the first Christmas Eve, a poor couple came quietly into the temple, just like every other couple did, and brought their son. She was so young, the mother, just a young girl, Mary. Simeon heard her husband call her by name, Mary. He, the husband, Joseph, a little older, obviously a worker, strong arms. Simeon catching him examining the woodwork in the temple as they patiently waited to fulfill the law of Moses. Carpenters do that. They straight away, my dad, who was a cabinet maker, wherever we went, he examined wood. Everything was priced by how much wood cost. That's how his mind was based on wood, the value of wood, the types of wood. So there's Joseph just checking things out. Look at that. But they came to have their baby named, to have him circumcised, to dedicate their firstborn, and for Mary's purification. That's what she needed to go through. After all these years, suddenly Simeon's heart picks up its beats. His breath rate raising a little faster. Today was different. This couple is different. This child is different. The Bible says he came by the Spirit that day, led by the Spirit. Verse 27 tells us that this day was the day he would see peace. He would have that which no other could provide. He would come face to face with peace. God had made a promise to him. We know that Mary, when she looked at Jesus, born in a manger, for the first time, someone looked on the actual face of God. It's 8 days after the first Christmas Eve. As I read the Bible, especially the Gospels, I find that Jesus had many appointments. There's no such thing as a coincidence. There's no such thing as fate or chance. There's an order. Jesus had many appointments with many people. In John chapter 4, there was a woman he met at a well, a woman who was a Samaritan, second class, who had been looking for peace in relationships. She had 5 men up to that time that Jesus met her, and the one who was with her at that moment was not her husband, and her 6th, yet she still had no peace. But she found the peace at a well when Jesus said, "I am He." But then there was in John chapter 5, and we go to this place, the Pool of Bethesda. There's a crowd of people there, all with injuries and sicknesses and diseases, waiting for the stirring of the water, as it was told that maybe an angel stirred the water, and the first one in the water would be healed. And there in this bunch, this mass of human wreckage, John chapter 5, was a man who for 38 years had been unable to move. He had lived a wild life. He had tried to find peace in partying. Yet all he had really found was sickness and disease. His lifestyle had taken a savage toll on his body that he had been bedridden for 38 years. Yet he found peace at a pool called Bethesda, where this rabbi picked him out of the crowd. And this man walked home with peace for the first time. But is this peace true peace? Is it? Is what they had real? Jesus had another appointment with a man a little later on the day that he was crucified. His name was Pontius Pilate. Pilate actually asked Jesus hours before he was crucified, "Tell me, what is truth?" John 18:37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said unto him, "Well, what's truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find no fault in him at all." Jesus had told Pilate before he had asked, "What is truth?" He had said that the reason he had been born was he came as the Prince of Peace. He was in fact the Prince of Peace. 8 days after Jesus had been born, his first appointment with a man called Simeon. And he came to bring peace to Simeon. I love this. God comes to people. Doesn't deal in blocks or lumps. God comes to you. Tonight, God speaks to you personally. You. And he came to bring peace to Simeon, not by giving him great wealth. We think that's what will help. If only I had a better job, more money. Not by giving him a powerful position. If only I had this title, that would help. No, he came to bring Simeon peace. How? Here's the key. by meeting him face to face. You get peace when you meet Jesus Christ face to face. It's said of Abraham that God spoke to Abraham, a theophany, face to face, as a friend. My question to you tonight is, do you really have peace within your soul? Can you relate to Harrison Ford, Ted Turner, Christina Onassis, or Kurt Cobain? No, Keith, I'm not famous. I do not have $1 million or millions of dollars. I can't sing. True, but are you treading the path left by lonely people in search of something that they have not, in some case, they'll never find? Are you on the treadmill, aging and getting tired of trying to find a place to stop, but you have to keep going, same day, same tomorrow, chasing the rainbow? Where are you trying to find peace in your life, that which you're unsure of? I had a friend back in the 1970s, a good surf friend. His brother used to make all my surfboards, and I played football with his brother. In the 70s, he was a nice young man. He went off to India to find peace, and he disappeared. His family, we've never heard of him since. He did not find peace with the gurus. Ask John Lennon or George Harrison. They never found peace. I had another friend who went to Queensland, another surf buddy, to become a monk, a Buddhist. He starved himself, as that's what they're to do, living a celibate life, because this is, you see, in Buddhism, there is no God, because you keep looking and looking. There is no God in Buddhism. It's the search. So he lived a celibate life with the aim of achieving nirvana, which is absolute nothingness or oneness. Instead, in Queensland, he found loneliness, disappointment and emptiness. He said, I would sit before the priest and he would slap me in the face. Thoughts, bad thoughts, slap. And he was wandering just out of the Buddhist temple where he was living and staying and looking for peace. And he was starving, so he rummaged through a rubbish bin looking for food. And there he found a Bible tract that led him to meet face to face a baby born on that first Christmas Eve. And he became a pastor. How do you find this peace that so many have searched for, yet not all have found? There is another appointment Jesus has, and it's with you and with your loved ones. Christmas is so important. I just read today, and I wrote a Twitter about it, the Diversity Unit or Diversity Council of Australia in the Herald Sun today wrote to tell the bosses of all their workplaces to make sure that Christ is not mentioned at Christmas in the office parties, lest they segregate individuals. So no, you can say happy holiday. So I wrote in my Twitter, well, if the Christians don't mention Christ at Christmas and if we're banned from doing that, then there's no longer any need to have a Diversity Council of Australia. It's done. We can pack up. I remember working with a man, Norm, he's passed away now, angry man. I was talking to him about the things of God. He was quite a lot older than myself. He said to me, look, nobody knows what happens after you die. I mean, if someone came back from the dead, then you'd have to listen to them. But nobody's ever done that. And I said, Norm, actually, someone has. His name's Jesus Christ. Oh, don't give me that. He walked off. You see, Christmas, this time of the year that we live, is about God coming to this world to fulfill his appointments with those who would have peace. Talking to Pastor Nat earlier on today, you know, about being banned and the schools don't sing songs, the kids don't do it. Remember, no TV, no classrooms of TV, kids on TV now singing Silent Night or the First Noel, that's not on. Doesn't happen anymore. It used to be on TV, remember? Have all these schools. And Pastor Nat said, well, it's not new, because this has been happening since Christ came. And it took me to the book of Acts. Remember Peter and John? After the great message that Peter preached, they called him into the temple. Said, hey, you can go about your business, just don't mention Jesus. Nothing new. And the church grew. If you have fear tonight about where Christianity is going, what's happening and what we can and can't do, God's in control. Simeon had peace in his heart like nobody else, because God promised, I'll give it to you. God's promised that same peace to you tonight. How did he promise it? He sent his son, Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is believe in our heart that he is our Lord and our Savior. And immediately God will give you peace that Paul says passes all understanding. Words can't describe it. People can't understand it. But it's real and it's tangible, because it was in a person that had skin on it. And it was born in a manger in Bethlehem. You too, like Simeon, will be able to say, I can leave here tonight in absolute peace. A peace that will never leave you. Why? Why does that peace never leave you? Because Jesus said, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you even unto the end of the world. Because my peace is a person, and he's with me every day of my life. We're going to pray now, and I'm going to give you the microphones. We're going to get in groups. We won't tonight. We have a few prayer cards. We're going to cull them down again. We've got a few, so we're going to get you to take those who want to take the prayer cards back. Just a few. You can say hello as you come out to grab them. But when you go back to your chair, again, the Holy Spirit led Simeon. Let's let the Holy Spirit lead us how to pray. But I know in our heart's desire, we need to pray for Christmas for families. Maybe it's your family. You can stand up and pray. We'll bring you the mic. Pray for Christmas in your family, that Christ will be glorified. Pray for someone you think in this church that maybe the kids come to church, but their mum and dad. Pray for, you can pray for that child, Christmas in their home. Let's pray Christ into things. My brother, who's a Jehovah Witness, you know, he hasn't passed away, and he wouldn't allow me to pray for him in his bedroom, because he knew I wouldn't pray according to the Jehovah Witness way. But you know, I can pray for him, and I've prayed for him all the time since I lived there, because I pray, because it's not bound by location. The veil is torn, and I can pray for him here. You can pray for friends and relatives and families here tonight. That's why we've gathered.